The year?
1855.
The place?
London. Characters?
Me, that is Primus. And the mater?
Cordelia.
She's an actress, though it's a while since she found a part suited to her talents. She's also a jolly good chum of the managing director of a publishing firm.
Gerald, he's a darling.
She might marry him, she thinks. And you see, as a result of this gratifying relationship...
My dear boy Primus, who previously had never quite discovered his true métier...
I've made a career choice. I'm getting into publishing. I've as good as joined Gerald's firm. I'm threatening to become another Victorian success story.
Gorgeous, darling. So now, read on.
Bookcases by Martin Wade. With Michael Cochran as Primus, Elizabeth Spriggs as Edith, Norman Rodway as Richard Burton, Maggie Steed as Cordelia, and David Horovitch as Gerald. Episode 2, Gone for a Burton.
Lord God Almighty, who has safely brought us...
Viz. Gerald Spavin and his mother, Edith...
...to the beginning of this day...
...viz. Monday, August the 26th...
...grant that all our doings...
...viz. at Spavin and Spavin, religious publishers of Paternoster Row...
...may be ordered by thy governance, so that we may do thy holy work... ...and, at the same time, reap such pecuniary benefit as may constitute a comfortable sufficiency. Amen. Amen.
I have a secret which I have kept from mother, if not from God. I am in love, for want of a better word. Yes, me, in love with the most wonderful woman in the world. But the wonderful woman has a son, a feckless creature. Oh, dear. Mother?
Yes, Gerald?
Might I have a word?
Yes, Gerald.
He mustn't join the firm.
Is it about Bishop Butler's missing page proofs?
No, Mother. It'll be the death of Mother if he does. He'll finish the firm off too, no doubt.
Is it about the monthly figures?
Not directly, Mother. But the difficulty is, I all but promised the most wonderful woman in the world that I'd give the feckless creature a decent chance.
Gerald, are you intending to tell me what it is about?
It's about a woman.
A woman?
The very same woman, Mother, that I met at the zoo, along with her son.
A son? By whom?
By the father, Mother, who has since perished. He's a very personable lad, good at heart, and as for his mother, I am in love with her.
Nonsense! Impossible!
Her name is Cordelia.
That makes no difference. Gerald. You know nothing about such things. Your life has been given up to religious books and celibacy. In love? With a woman you met at the zoo? You're a fool, Gerald, or a liar, or both. I'd ask you not to refer to this matter again.
As you wish, Mother. One thing I ought to mention, though. She and the personable son, they're coming round for tea.
Well, Mother, by all accounts, she's the prime article, the very thing itself. Her name is Katie Joyner, and she writes biographies that sell by the wagon load.
Katie Joyner? Yes, yes, of course.
Have you read any of them, Mother?
No, darling.
Nor have I. But my understanding is that they're extraordinarily shocking and revelatory. All sorts of skeletons are dragged out of their respective cupboards when the Joyner's at work. So I thought if her next volume were to be published by Spavin and Spavin...
And Primus.
It would be a top-rank coup, Nespa. A way of saying, new regime, new Spavin, success.
Gorgeous, darling.
Good day, madam. Good day, sir. I wonder if I might share your vehicle.
For what purpose, sir?
So that I may get home.
Well, where is your home?
Ah, can't tell you that.
Why not? Are you plotting a conspiracy?
No, madam. I am a restless vagabond, a nomad, a wild rover. Can't help myself. It's just the Bedouin in my soul. And you see, I am so often on my travels that I cannot remember where my house is. Also, as it happens, I have since breakfast consumed 3 pipes of opium and a bottle of gin. But I was hoping that if I travel with you far enough, I might glimpse a locality that looks familiar and discover the way to my abode.
I like your fancy dress. Have you been to a party?
I have not. I've been alone, but I've been very good company, too. No, sir. This is the clothing I wore when I worked as an undercover agent investigating the homosexual brothels of Karachi.
Oh.
Mirza Abdullah of Bushehr, your humble servant.
Gorgeous, darling.
I'm a master of disguise. I'm a linguist, too. Fluent in 35 languages. Arabic, Gujarati, I can't remember the rest. Also, I fought alongside the Bashi Basuks in the Crimea.
Oh.
I am a doped and an alcoholic, of course. Oh. I've committed every sin in the Decalogue. I'm a writer.
A writer? A king of the quill?
Works include falconry in the Valley of the Indus, a complete system of bayonet exercise.
Well, I, sir, am a publisher. What is your name?
My name?
Apart from Mirza Abdullah. A bit unfair to throw that one at you, but...
Look, my card.
Richard Francis Burton.
Yes, that's me.
It also has your address.
Of course it does.
Boulogne, sir, that's where your house is.
Is it?
But we're not going quite that far, I'm afraid. What a lovely little building.
Nice view.
Have you been here long, Mrs. Spavin?
Since 7:30 this morning.
Yeah, I think what Cordelia was asking, Mother, was whether the firm is well established.
Oh, well, if that is what she was asking, the answer is yes.
Ritual and doxology in the early British church. St. Gilbert and the Nuns of Sempringham.
Our latest publications.
Selling like hot cross buns, I bet.
You've never tried publishing fiction at all?
What, madam?
Fiction, you know, stories.
Fiction is the titillation of the baser parts. Fiction is the fruit of the poison tree.
Biography, sport, travel.
We publish religion.
So I gather.
We have always published religion since 1749. You, sir?
Me, madam?
Primus's name is Primus, Mother.
I'm informed that your mother is an actress.
That's right, darling.
What are you?
Me, madam?
Do you have a profession?
Oh, yes, for certain, madam, I do.
You see, Mother...
I'm in publishing.
Are you? And which particular publishing house is it which accommodates you?
If I may just at this point interject a word or two which may be helpful.
Publishing house.
This one?
This one.
No, no.
Oh, it's true, darling. Ask Gerald.
Well, thank you for coming. Both of you.
Darling, the pleasure was entirely ours. Your mother isn't upset, I hope.
Upset? No, no. She was a little taken by surprise, that's all. My fault. I should have broached the matter of Primus's employment a little in advance.
I take it there'll be no problem.
No, no. No, no, no.
I'd like to get cracking ASAP. On a formal basis, I mean. My own office, regular salary. Really start to show what I'm made of. Turn the firm round.
Turn it round?
Of course... I've done a lot of hard work already.
Primus has lined up 2 major publications.
He's done what?
One, a meticulously researched, sensational new work by the celebrated biographer Katie Joyner. The subject, to be announced.
And 2...
A travel book by Richard Burton. He's a close personal friend of mine. I was talking to him earlier today, in fact. He's agreed to write about his trip to discover the source of the Nile.
The source of the Nile? Has it been discovered?
Not yet. The idea is, the firm funds the trip, and the Burton finds the source. Result, bestseller!
Gerald?
Yes, Mother?
You are a fool. You are unutterably idiotic. To give a boy such as him... To give a juvenile delinquent a job at Spavin and Spavin?
It's for a trial period, Mother. Primus on probation and at the end of 6 months.
Six months? I must have the creature's sickly, silly face in here for 6 months? And for no other reason than that you think you've fallen in love with his mother?
Oh.
I'm going to lie down. Suddenly, my heart's not right.
Saturday. I am at the Royal Observatory, Greenwich, with my beloved.
Isn't that extraordinary, darling? Look, you are in the Western Hemisphere, and I am in the East.
Wherever you are, Cordelia, there will I follow.
Gorgeous, darling. Do you believe in divine synchronicity? Do you believe that things are somehow ordained in advance? Do you believe in kismet?
Yes, at least I'm sure I could do if I put my mind to it.
You see, I never feel I'm entirely in control of things.
Nor do I. Not nowadays. I used to be.
Events arise up and take me by surprise. One day, I'm at the zoo. I plunge the point of my parasol into a stranger's leg. And suddenly, I've met the man of my life.
Darling. Angel.
Oh, just remembered. That Niall fellow, Burton.
Yes?
Primus wonders if you might have a chat with him.
Me?
Yes, darling. Soonest, he says. He'd do it himself, but he's very busy with Katie Joyner, the meticulous sensational biographer. The idea is, says Primus, to finalise the terms with Burton. Draw up a contract. That sort of thing. Strike while the Nile's hot.
Cordelia, my treasure, I am so much in love with you that there is nothing I wouldn't do for you and for your dear son. Almost nothing. But, Cordelia, there is a small difficulty with regard to Mother.
Nonsense, darling. She's an absolute sweetie. Mr. Burton, by the way, is residing at the Goat and Monkey in Spitalfields. He's in disguise. You can't miss him.
Beater of camel dung, son of a banyan pip!
Excuse me, sir. May I ask your name?
My name?
It isn't by any chance Richard Burton.
That's the fellow. Dick Burton, special agent, master of disguise, explorer, linguist.
My name's Spavin.
Yeah, of course it is. Greetings, salut, zratsfuti, salve, scarab, salamander.
Has something unfortunate happened?
I was stood at the bar of that vile public house there, examining the bottom of my glass, when a sailor approached me and made an insulting insinuation about my drooping mustachios. I immediately challenged him to a duel with sabers, but the coward declined. No thanks, mate, he said, and punched me on the nose.
You were ill-used, I think.
I was, sir, I was. But, Effendi, at times like these, I am able to find consolation in the mystic wisdom of the Sufis and seek tranquility through contemplation. Ah, behold, the duck and caterpillar. Now, what are you having?
I don't drink as a rule.
I'll have a large gin.
Oh, right. Landlord, a large gin, please. Now, Mr. Burton.
That's me?
Regarding this deal which was broached by my colleague...
Yes, I, for my part, have not been slow. Let me assure you, my personal belongings and scientific instruments are all packed. The provisions are all provided for. I have a team of 300 coolies and 500 donkeys standing by in Zanzibar and a boat moored at Tilbury. It simply remains for you to pay me in cash and at the first available opportunity, right now by preference, the sum previously agreed with your young colleague to cover both the funding of this momentous expedition and the first half of the fee for the resulting book.
What was the sum previously agreed?
£4,000.
£4,000? Landlord, another large gin, please.
My rule is simple, sir. Dig deep. Tell all. I am merciless in my pursuit of the truth. I hate hypocrisy and deceit, and I am no respecter of persons.
Top notch, Miss Joyner. Prime cut.
My works include The Secret Life of Florence Nightingale, The Secret Life of Lord Palmerston, and The Secret Life of Albert Francis Charles Augustus Emmanuel of Saxe-Coburg-Gotha.
Who?
The Queen's consort. Now I see from your card, sir, that you are a representative of Spavin and Spavin.
I am, madam.
Then let me tell you, I have no intention of writing the life of a saint.
Ha ha ha! Savant, so dear.
Unless that is The saint transpires to be a sinner, and has perpetrated all manner of private perversions in the protracted intervals between his public acts of virtue.
Oh, yes, Sir Tenemore! Let me enlighten you, Miss Joyner.
Hmm?
In the past, of course, Spavin and Spavin has devoted itself to religious publications, but my arrival at the firm has raised something of a breeze. Change is the watchword now. Change, change, change. That's the mode. We're going secular, madam, in a really, really big way. Do you dare to be part of this publishing revolution?
Fleabag! Mangy cur!
We have left the Duck and Caterpillar in some haste on account of Mr. Burton entering into a disagreement with the landlord's dog, challenging it to a duel with sabers, and being badly bitten in several places.
Scurvy bungle! Thumb sniffer!
The beast was very rough with you, sir.
It was. I was ill-used. Still, there's always another caravanserai just around the corner.
The contract, by the way, remains undrawn up. The truth is, I am beginning to have some doubts about this man.
So, to continue my tale, I grew a beard down to my navel and covered my skin with henna. I journeyed with the Jat camelmen, listened to their conversations, and very quickly acquired the complexities of their language.
Where are we?
Haven't a clue.
Oh, dear.
London, perhaps? Look about this contract.
Ah, yes.
Yes?
Well,
Damn it, Effendi, am I getting the 4,000 or not? £50 in flimsies would do in the first instance.
It's getting dark. Also, we're lost.
Lost? How can we be lost? We don't know where we're going.
Oh, it's you.
Correct. Ah, nice room. Nice view.
Yes. And the time is 10 to 11.
Just a little after, indeed.
You are almost 3 hours late.
Ah, well...
Listen, young person. I do not want you here at all. Spavin and Spavin has no need whatsoever of your asinine conduct and your presumptuous aspirations.
Uh-huh.
It has done tolerably well without them since 1749. But if you must work for us, if you must receive payment from us, you'll work the full hours.
Oh, you're getting a fair whack out of me, madam, I do assure you. This morning, par exemple, I was in Islington, continuing my very delicate discussions with Miss Katie Joyner.
I have never heard of Miss Katie Joyner.
Oh, surely, madam.
But even if I had, I cannot conceive of a situation in which I would wish you to have discussions with her.
Well, madam, your son is fully informed of the situation.
My son is not here. My son has not been here for the past 3 days. My son has been corrupted by your mother. He's staying with her, I suppose.
Oh, no, madam. He's staying with Richard Burton.
Richard Burton?
Linguist, explorer. Take a look at this.
It's a handbill.
Correct. An announcement of future publications.
Whose future publications?
Ours. Exciting, eh?
You're mad.
They always say that about men of genius.
Also?
Yes?
You're fired.
Good morning. Mother.
Gerald?
Greetings!
Oh,
heretic! Bora vora!
Ah, and Mr. Burton, too!
What has happened?
Well, Mother, I've been to hell and back.
Gerald, darling, you're not looking quite in the pink.
Oh, Cordelia, if I were to tell you the full frightfulness of the last few days...
I do hope you will, darling. I love horror stories.
Roaming, wandering down dark alleys and rodent-infested passages, encountering all manner of evil-smelling, blaspheming, undesirable people. Oh, and we think we saw Charles Dickens, too, with a notebook. And then, after incidents and misfortunes and sleepless nights, we at last reached the office, and there was my mother in the extremities of distress.
The poor dear.
She says that if things go on this way, she's certain to suffer a fatal recurrence of her heart complaint.
Oh, how dreadful.
Perhaps...
Yes, darling?
Perhaps if Primus were to consider some other profession?
Oh, no, darling, I don't think so. Publishing, he's decided, is exactly up his paternoster row, and he's achieved so much already.
Well, he's made an impact on the firm, that's undeniable.
Nothing can be gained in life without risk, without change, without a sense of adventure. Don't you agree, darling?
Absolutely. And for you, my sweetest.
And for Primus.
I would risk everything. Almost. Perhaps he'd like to go to India.
India, darling?
He could set up a branch of the firm there. Or perhaps I could.
Gerald, sir, Mr. Snaven, good evening. You know, I'm a little worried about the Burton.
Yes.
He's having a bit of a bad trot.
He's a wayward genius, darling, a man apart.
He drinks.
As per un poisson. He takes opium, too.
He's depressed.
He's thoroughly disorganized.
His head's up his fundament.
Myself, I can't see him discovering the source of the Nile.
Myself, I can't see him discovering the source of the Thames.
If I were you, darling, I'd tell him to postpone the trip till the 1860s.
No, Mother, can't do. I've got the whole publicity apparatus set up. Advertising space booked, posters printed, notices sent out to the papers. No, no. Can't pull out now.
Ah, Burton. Sit down. Care for a chop?
No, no, thanks, Effendi. Just had a gutful of chicken kebabs.
Ah. Glad you could come. I've got a little proposition to make.
Oh, yeah?
Excuse me, sir. That's a no-smoking table.
It's all right. It's only opium. When I made my world-famous pilgrimage to Mecca in the guise of a certain Dr. Abdullah... by the way, the African trip, when am I getting paid?
You're not.
Not? Why not?
You're not going.
Not going? Why not going?
Well, Dick, the plain truth is, you're just not fit.
What? Infidel! Desert rat!
Hardlines. Saddens me just as much as it saddens you. Of course, if you don't make the trip, that is, if you don't appear to make the trip, much effort of mine will go down the privy, and I'll miss out on the winnings. Therefore, we are to resort to subterfuge.
What? Subterfuge. Oh, yes, that's the stuff.
The African Queen will leave from Tilbury, but you won't be on it. You'll stay behind, acquire a new identity.
Aha!
For 2 years, while you're meant to be on safari, you'll be another person. Here. You'll need a disguise, naturellement.
Yes, yes, that's right. I shall acquire a cap and grubby threads, and shall go and dwell among the Cockney folk, and after a few days shall begin to converse with them quite fluently. Hello, me old ginger. Mind the apples and pears. Oh, but what about the book of the trip?
The book? Don't worry, Effendi. I'll take care of that. Chapter 1, Jungle Fever. The first day it was very, very hot. In the morning I shot an elephant. In the afternoon there was an outbreak of malaria and restlessness among the natives. In the evening I shot another elephant. And a native. Enter!
Good afternoon.
Miss Joyner!
I've come about the biography.
I'm so chuffed.
It's going to be in 2 volumes. And I want 3,500 for the pair.
3,500? Whose secret life is this? Got?
The fee for the first volume shall be paid in advance.
Uh-huh.
And I'll receive half profits after the sale of 10,000 copies.
Right.
Also, I shall have the right to grant publication of juicy extracts in a national newspaper.
In return, you must be present at the launch party, must attend a minimum of 5 book signing sessions, wine and nibbles to be provided, and must make yourself available for interviews with all reputable periodicals. Agreed?
Agreed.
Splendid. Prime cut. So, Miss Joyner, it simply remains for you to divulge the subject of your intended biography, and then we can draw up a contract.
Richard Burton, the secret life of...
What?
Richard Francis Burton, linguist, explorer...
Yes, yes.
He set off for Africa on Tuesday, I believe, on a venture funded by your own firm.
Yes.
Extraordinary man.
A wayward genius.
I suspect he suffered a traumatic experience in childhood.
Oh, hundreds of them.
Hello, mate. Sphinx.
Why, it's, my old friend from the eel and pie shop.
Like me daisy roots, do you? got 'em off a geezer in the old Kent Road. Hello, missus. Nice bonnet.
Thank you. Good afternoon. My name's Katie Joyner, and yours, I think, is Richard Burton.
Miss Joyner.
Yes, Mr. Primus.
What is your plan at the moment, exactly?
My plan at the moment, exactly, is to write a vicious expose of Mr. Burton in 2.5 weeks max and dash off with it to Chapman and Hall. The secret life of Dick Burton. It's going to be a big one.
Yes, well, pretty big.
You know, I don't think the bastard made it to Mecca either. Oh, Karachi. I'm not even sure his name's Richard Burton. He's the hoax of the century.
Yes, but what about the agreement we came to?
Not worth the paper it was never written on. I won't do a deal with you, sir.
What?
It was you who dreamt up the deception. You who hoped to benefit by it. You are a charlatan. You are a disgrace to the publishing profession. And I tell you, I mean to devote at least 3 chapters of my book to your shameful involvement in the fraud.
Thank you, flattered. Miss Joyner, please, think again. For the sake of poor Mr. Burton.
No.
For the sake of Spaven and Spaven and all who work there.
No! I dig deep, I tell all. I am merciless in my pursuit of the truth.
Is there nothing that will persuade you not to write the book?
Nothing, nothing.
What about money?
How much?
The first day it was very, very hot. In the morning I shot an elephant. Gerald?
Yes, Mother?
Which mentally impaired person wrote this manuscript?
Not sure, Mother. I think it came here in error.
I think so, too. I think that in recent weeks a great deal has come here in error.
Good morning.
Oh, it's you.
Absolutely, darling.
And me, Molly.
Gerald, darling, I'm whisking you off to Fortnum's.
Are you?
But before you go, an update on Miss Katie Joyner.
Can't the update wait?
Who is Miss Katie Joyner?
She writes biographies, darling.
But she's not writing Burton's.
Primus has bought her off, the clever boy.
Yes, in my experience there are few problems in life that grubby gelt can't solve. The fearless seeker after truth has taken her money and run. A sad comment on humankind, eh?
Gerald, what is the buffoon talking about?
I'm talking about 3,500.
3,500?
Yes.
Oh, may I ask who's 3,500?
Spaven and Spavins, of course. It's the figure I originally agreed as the fee for the book.
And now, Gerald, Miss Joyner's getting it for not writing the book.
See, this all worked out pretty satisfactorily. Nespa?
Help!
Mother!
Oh, darling, is she all right?
Heart attack.
Oh, hard lines.
Yes, very. I think I may be having one too.
That was episode 2 of Bookcases by Martin Wade. Primus was played by Michael Cochran, Cordelia by Maggie Steed, Edith by Elizabeth Spriggs, Gerald by David Horovitch, Richard Burton by Norman Rodway, Katie Joyner by Francis Jeter, and The Waiter by David Antrobus. Bookcases was directed by Cherry Cookson.